time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. From Billy Bomb for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. From Billy Bomb.
Is Off the Hook. This is Red Act here, sitting in for Emmanuel. I'm joined in the studio by Mike.
Hi there.
By Redbird, sorry.
Good evening.
Arseny.
Hi.
And Walter.
Hey.
And on the phone we have Bernie S. in Philadelphia.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
You'll notice that one person we don't have, who we always have, is Emmanuel. As listeners know, he was traveling all around the world, kept going east, and well,
he went too far.
He was in Long Island, and you know, as people know, he does another show on Long Island. And apparently, all this going east, he couldn't come back west for tonight's show. So I'm sure he will be back next time to explain what that's all about. Next time will not be next week or the week after, but the week after that. WBAI is in fundraising mode, as you know. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that throughout the show. And so we encourage you to pledge. Let's start with a news story. This news story comes from Wilmington. The Delaware Supreme Court made a good decision, I think. They declined to unmask a blogger, as the headline in the Times put it. The Delaware Supreme Court has ruled that if an elected official claims he has been defamed by an anonymous blogger, he cannot use a lawsuit to unmask the writer unless he has substantial evidence to prove his claim. So what happened is this this person wrote on the internet something really only slightly nasty. He has an obvious mental deterioration about the mayor of this, a councilman in Smyrna, Delaware. And he sued this councilman in Smyrna to find out who it was, and this person anonymously put in a petition saying, "No, don't say who I am," and the Delaware Supreme Court agrees that the right to free speech holds even on the internet. So, bit of good news out of Delaware.
This is a state court decision?
Yes, it's the Delaware Supreme Court.
Ah, well, that's good anywhere in Delaware.
So if you want to criticize politicians, Delaware's the place to do it. Any further news?
Well, there's the big story around New York and or lack thereof.
Let's get to that. You mean the story that I have, that New York officials are increasing security on city subways after word of a credible security threat. That's from October 6th.
No, that's not the story.
I'm reading it right here in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, well, it must be true. They were quoted, that's a quote, credible threat. And who was quoted as saying that? I don't know.
Representative Peter King.
Ah, well, maybe they shouldn't quote him anymore.
Newsday reported that the threat was said to be timed to the Jewish high holidays and the start of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. This sounds very credible.
Well, sure, anybody can make up a convincing lie, especially when there's an eager audience that wants to hear it. But so what's the story on this story?
Why don't you tell us?
Well, I think many of our listeners have already heard that the U.S. government has admitted that this was a hoax perpetrated by one of their less than reliable informants, although he has apparently been reliable about half the time with other things. But they did some investigation in Iraq. This was an Iraqi informant, and the three people this informant identified were given lie detector tests and had no access to anyone in New York or forged documents or anything. And I believe it was a Defense Intelligence Agency who decided that this was not credible at all. But this is what you get when you give raw intelligence to politicians. Raw intelligence is stuff that hasn't been vetted or cleared as having any reliability. And apparently that got to Bloomberg, and he started going on a, what would you call it?
I mean, I think Bloomberg may have even known that this was all a bunch of nonsense. But as people may know, Bloomberg is running for re-election in a little bit less than a month, and I think he wanted to appear strong. I mean, it worked for Bush.
He did. He did look strong on television. I heard him make some comment about it. It's easy for some analysts in Washington to look at data, but when you're here in New York and have to protect real lives, you've got to take charge or something to that effect.
And look, he looked successful. There was no bombing of the subway this weekend.
Yes, he is a very good mayor. In fact, you should vote for him.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mayor Bloomberg. But it's very, very strange.
And at the expense of this fear-mongering was at the expense of, I wonder how many people's constitutional rights.
A lot of people. I have this... Know Your Rights from the New York Civil Liberties Union, and they have on their website this kind of interesting contrast between the stated search policy and what your rights actually are. And, you know, the stated search policy is that bags will be searched on the subways, on commuter trains, and possibly on buses and ferries. Bags will be searched before people go through the turnstile or on the platform boarding the train. And the NYCLU wants you to know that it is illegal for the police to search your bags without individualized suspicion that you are involved in criminal activity.
It's called probable cause.
And it's dying a very slow, painful death, probable cause.
Now, the problem is if they search you on the platform as opposed to before you enter the subway, you have no chance to say you want to leave without losing your fare.
They seem not to be doing that.
I haven't seen it done. I'm sure you've seen more than I have, though.
What I haven't actually seen is all that much searching of late. There was this very misleadingly worded release from the police department that got picked up by the major papers where they said there were going to be police in every station due to this heightened terror alert. And if you didn't read it carefully, you would think that they were going to be searching people in every station, whereas in many stations, all they were doing was just kind of standing around looking tough and not searching anyone.
Did anyone here get searched? I didn't get searched or, you know, have any problem getting on the subway.
No, I haven't. I haven't even seen them really searching people in quite some time.
There were a lot of photo ops, I think, that I saw on television of people's bags being searched. But I wonder if those were just done for the camera or to intimidate people, or I wonder how much searching was actually happening.
I mean, I'm sure some was, but I mean, as we've pointed out time and time again, that these searches will not catch a terrorist with half a brain.
I did see a lot of, you know, police cars in front of large stations, you know, with their lights flashing. So it was a big show, at least.
That'll stop the terrorists.
Maybe these terrorists are, like, afraid of light or something. What's the word?
They could be epileptic, and then they could just have seizures right in the street.
Anything is possible. We did mention at the top of the hour that this is a fundraising week for WBAI. As the regular listeners know, we do this every so often to really keep this place going. It's all supported by contributions. We don't get any big government funding. We don't take advertising. So it's really the calls of the people like our listeners who really help us keep on the air and keep all the other valuable programs on the station on the air. The number to call to pledge is 212-209-2950. That's, of course, country code 1 if you're calling from outside of the country. The people in the tally room always really like it when we get calls from outside the country. So again, the number is 212-209-2950. And we have three sort of levels of premium available. Really, everyone who pledges really supports keeping this show on the air and keeping the station on the air. And that's really the primary reason for pledging. But we also like to thank you for your pledge. And so we give you these gifts. Anyone who pledges $25 or more gets in addition to membership in the station, which allows them to vote in the elections for the station board. They get a smashing off the hook T-shirt, which is, I guess no one here is wearing one right now. It's black.
Not available anywhere else.
No, you can't buy this online. You can't buy it anywhere except by calling us to pledge. So that's really for everyone who pledges $25 and up. If you pledge $50, in addition to getting that T-shirt, you'll get a 2600 sweatshirt. And the 2600 sweatshirt is being worn by three people in this room right now. That's how great a shirt it is.
It's great for days like this. You know, it protected me from the cold and the rain. And
it's a hoodie, isn't it?
It's a hoodie.
It's a hoodie.
It's very, a hoodie. Very attractive hoodie.
It's very stylish.
It has a... Like has the special kind of a pass-through pocket in the middle in the front that you can conceal objects in and run your hands through. It's pretty good.
It says 2600 on the front, and on the back is this kind of very intimidating government seal type logo, which I believe you, Bernie S., have actually used on occasion to intimidate people.
Actually, that was honestly not my intent. It was just a chilly day, and it just turned out we were looking for a pirate radio station, and the people who saw it at the station might have thought we were federales. So, but honestly, that was not my intent to intimidate anyone. It was unintended.
So even unintended, you can intimidate people.
But it worked. I mean, they moved the station to another frequency and stopped interfering with the WUSB. So that was our goal, and they were very nice about it.
All right. And if you pledge, so that's for your pledge of $50 or more, you can get this very, very useful in many ways sweatshirt.
Powerful.
Powerful sweatshirt. And if you pledge $75, you will get a DVD-ROM with all the off-the-hook shows ever in MP3 format. And this is a new edition, which will include the shows through the end of 2005. So you won't get it before the end of the year, but when you do get it, it will have every show ever from the very first shows through the end of 2005. And this is the sort of resource that we can make available here because, you know, computer technology, as we cover, just keeps expanding and expanding until the point where we can store so much audio on this disk that you really would need a lot of time to listen to it all.
Stick that in your MP3 player.
It's actually two disks, two DVDs.
Two DVDs.
So you get not one, but two.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought they had the technology to put it on one DVD now.
No, I think we're doing two this time.
Oh, okay.
It's so much data, it requires two DVD ROMs to fit on.
That's really something. And you can really hear the history of the show. You can hear, Bernie S., a lot of your experiences chronicled on WBAI. You can hear...
Sort of it's a theme. We have different people's tours. I mean, whether someone is touring the world or touring the federal prison systems or touring... Whatever, touring hacker conferences in different places. It's just sort of an amazing log of information. It's really fun to go back and listen to.
And I know we have a lot of new listeners from this whole podcasting craze. So you probably haven't heard some of the earlier shows yet if you're new to the show. And this is your chance to really get them all on one disc.
And to see where we it's, you know, it's kind of hard to get a perspective of where we are unless you look at where we've been with technology and politics and culture and how all these things are interconnected in the law and different legal battles and successes and failures. Unless you can look back a few years and see this, it's difficult to see the grand picture. So it's really useful to look back and listen to what was going on a few years ago, 5 years, 10 years, 15 or more. How far does this go back?
I'm not sure exactly, but it's pretty far.
Good stuff.
So again, the number to call is 212-209-2950. And we have no calls on the line at the moment, which is really not good. So please call today, 212-209-2950. Again, every pledge, 25 and up, gets the Off the Hook t-shirt. $50 gets the very useful 2600 sweatshirt. And $75 gets you the Off the Hook DVD-ROM with every show ever. And a lot of time, we always get email after we do these shows from people who say, you know, I really want these premiums. Can I still get it? And the answer is no, you can't. This is the only, this hour between 7 and 8 o'clock Eastern Time is the only time you can call up and get the Off the Hook premiums. You can still pledge online if you want to support the station, which we, of course, encourage you to do. But unless you call today, 212-209-2950, you will not be able to get these premiums, and it will really be a loss.
Speaking of losses, I want to mention a loss tonight. This is kind of sad, but an ACLU lawyer here in Philadelphia, who was actually the legal director here at the Philadelphia ACLU office, Stefan Presser, has been working hard for many years for civil rights. And he is the lawyer who's largely responsible for the defeat of the Communications Decency Act and its successor, which basically was to outlaw indecency on the net. The problem is that the government chose not to define the word indecency. So basically anything that someone didn't like on the internet could be ruled a criminal offense to post. Fortunately, Stefan Presser was successful in getting that law struck down. He was also largely responsible for keeping a low-power FM station here in Philadelphia, Radio Mutiny, several years ago on the air through five separate FCC visits up until the last one where the FCC brought armed federal marshals to shut down this community FM station, which was well-loved here in Philadelphia.
That must have been quite a sight, armed federal marshals at one of these sort of small radio stations.
It was actually fortunate and I think planned by the FCC. The chief of enforcement from the FCC came up from Washington himself with armed federal marshals and timed it when nobody would be at the station early that evening. I don't think they wanted a confrontation because it could have been ugly. So they came before we were to go on the air that night, or whoever was going to go on the air that night.
No one we know would be involved in illegal activity.
And that... All the equipment was ripped out, and the antenna was brought down, and it was a sad day. But the station got a lot of important messages out, and Stefan Presser was largely responsible for keeping that station on the air and for doing a lot of other important things in Philadelphia. So I'd just like to mention that he's no longer with us, but we hope that other people carry on his mission because he did a lot of important work.
All right. Again, the number to call the pledge is 212-209-2950. Another story in the news, this is from Boston, Massachusetts, where the lawmakers there are debating a cell phone rights bill. What do you think of that?
Good idea.
Good idea. The first in the nation cell phone bill of rights is up for debate today on Beacon Hill, which is where the Massachusetts legislature meets, today being October 4th when this story was written. The bill would address common cell phone annoyances by fixing dead zones, shortening contracts to 1 year, and offering bills that customers can understand. Senate sponsor Jarrett Barrios calls it a lemon law for cell phones. He says people spend so much on cell phones that it's only fair that people know what to expect from their service. House sponsor David Linsky says that the bill simply offers protection similar to those provided by the landline industry. Industry sponsors say they'll fight the bill. They said the regulation isn't necessary because the industry is so competitive it has to adjust to consumer demands. Go ahead.
It hasn't. The industry has not adjusted to consumer demands. I think almost everybody would demand that they not be charged extra fees for items that were not included in their monthly monthly quoted bill, and there's, you know, I think a large percentage of every, you know, a big chunk of everybody's bill, if you look at the itemization, is not what they were promised they would pay each month. And the these cell phone companies are simply passing on things like taxes that they have to pay, and it's all these pass-through charges that were, are not revealed to you when you sign a contract, and it's very unfair, and I think they should be wrapped into the monthly charge that you're quoted. But that would be included in this cell phone bill of rights. Unfortunately, this is just being proposed in Massachusetts, but I'd like to see some federal legislation along these lines.
What the industry sponsors, I guess, are saying is that some companies will drop nationwide plans for Massachusetts consumers if the bill passes. That I would really be kind of amused to see. It seems the opposite of the industry responding to consumer demands. If whole states suddenly couldn't get cell phones, it seems like it would create a great market for one company that could comply with these laws, which are really pretty reasonable to continue to do business there.
Threatening consumers is not actually meeting their demands, in my opinion, but whatever.
So that is that story. I think we'll go in a minute to this very special phone call that we can make to a very remote location, more remote, I guess, than anywhere that was on Emmanuel's tour. So let's set that phone call up. And while we do, we just want to remind you that the pledge lines are open. It's 212-209-2950. Again, the premiums are for 25 and up, the off-the-hook T-shirt. For $50, you get the very, very useful 2600 sweatshirt. And for $75, you get the off-the-hook DVD-ROM, the new edition, which will go through the end of 2005. One other issue we should cover is we often get emails when we do these pledge drives from people who pledged at a previous time to say they haven't got their premium yet. Please email us about it, oth@2600.com, which is where you can also email if you have any comments about the show. And if you didn't get it, we will look into it. Sometimes things take a bit of time. It's a nonprofit organization. Sometimes things get lost in the shuffle, but we will look into it, and you will get your premiums. Please let us know, and we'll make sure to take care of that. Of course, this only goes if you did actually pay your pledge, but our listeners are mostly honest people. So I think we have our special guest on the line with us. Is this Christian?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Where are you, Christian?
I am sitting in a 9-foot by 11-foot room called the Black Box, which is the only indoor spot to sit down and have a cigarette and a drink at the South Pole.
The South Pole?
The actual South Pole, not just
Antarctica.
There's
only one. No, 90 degrees south.
Wow. So what brings you to Antarctica?
I'm down here taking care of one of the science experiments on station for the year. We're wrapping up a winter right about now, expecting a first flight of the year in about 8 days or so. The weather holds up. Maybe we'll be able to get people in and get us out of here. But pretty much just, you know, sitting down and taking care of electronics and computers.
How are you able to communicate with us, Christian?
Excuse me. Our communications are limited to about a little under 12 hours a day, going over three NASA leftover satellites. We have Marisat 2, TDRS 1, and GOES 3. They've either been already decommissioned as of at least 10, 15 years ago, or their propellant is either completely expired or running out. So it's all satellite-based. We also have Iridium phones on station. The Iridium coverage down here is actually pretty good.
I hope it's interesting because we were speaking with Emmanuel for the past several weeks on his Iridium phone from different parts of the world, and you sound remarkably better than any of his calls. I think the satellites or the satellite phones, the Marisat or the other. What satellite are you on right now?
Right now, I think we have an overlap at the moment of TDRS and Marisat.
Because whatever phone and band codec and bandwidth you're permitted for this call, Sounds almost as clear as a landline. It's very good.
That's good to hear.
When we called
actually,
you...
at the moment...
Go ahead.
Sorry. At the moment, this is a voice over IP connection, which is quite nice. Each satellite, assuming that visibility and everything is nice to them, each satellite affords us about a full T1 both ways. So the voice over IP connections, assuming that there isn't too much network congestion, people grabbing stuff off the internet and stuff like that, voice over IP is actually pretty nice down here.
How many people are down there with you?
There are 85 other winter rovers for this year, which is to date the largest winter rover population.
And
usually it's somewhere in the mid 50s or mid 40s.
And what's the window of opportunity to come and go? And what methods of transportation do you use?
All the flights down here are via LC-130s, which are basically C-130s on skis. Flights occur during the summer. Our seasons are reversed. We go by New Zealand seasons. So summer is actually almost beginning right now. Summer is kind of weird because the sun's up 24/7. There's one sunrise, one sunset here. So, while the sun is up, obviously pilots have enough visibility. It's a little warmer. The weather's a little nicer for them to be able to come in and, leave. But usually around March is when the station closes for the year. And from March until either late October, early November, there's no in or out, no transportation at all.
How long has IP connectivity been available there? And were you there before it was available? And what did people do with their time before then?
We've had IP connectivity here. My understanding is probably at least, I'd figure at least five, maybe a couple more years than that. Originally, the satellites that are used for are available for use down here, they come and go. Some of them kind of just die. Those three right now is, pretty much dying. Sometimes it's unbearably. It's unbearable to use because we just can't align it. We're pretty much at the mercy wherever it is. But it is getting better, it seems. I've heard horror stories from a couple years ago about what IP connectivity was like then. Before there was any IP connectivity, it was pretty much ham radio down here. That was it. Other than that, there's an unbelievable amount of beta tapes down here. Pretty cool to catch some movies on beta here. A lot of movies, a lot of books. There's a pretty good library down here, too. But other than that, I pretty much just sit down and either work or pass the time when you're not working.
What's the size of the whole complex? And also, what do you use for power? Do you just use gas generators, or what's the setup for that?
Yeah, everything down here runs off of JP-8, which is basically we have during the summer. There's a big rush not only to move cargo in, but more importantly, they move all the fuel in for the year. Everything down here stinks of diesel, literally everything. That's the only smell down here, too. You pretty much get used to it after a while. But
Of course, with the notion of Antarctica as this kind of clean, pure place.
Yeah, well, if you ever take a visit to McMurdo, McMurdo Station is on the coast. Everybody coming here has to pass through there. McMurdo, I think there are parts of Manhattan that the streets are cleaner than MacTown.
Wow. Well, then.
Do they use any special...
But anyhow.
I'll ask, is there any special method you use to keep the diesel from not gelling up because it's so cold?
Actually, believe it or not, diesel will not freeze.
Yes, but it doesn't gel?
It does. Not really, which is really odd. Well, you would think that it would freeze. Everything else down here does. But in storage, I think it does become a little thicker. But I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that as it's actually piped into the power plant, we have heat traces that run along all of the pipes for water and any liquids that move here. Keep them warm. I'm almost positive there are heat traces that probably warm it up a bit before it's actually fed to the generators.
What are some of the experiments that you've been involved with, and what are some of the more interesting ones that you've seen or heard about there?
Well, we have a couple of seismic experiments here, which is interesting. I was just talking to the science tech for the seismic stuff the other day, and she had gotten massive amounts of data about the recent earthquake in India and Pakistan. And we were feeling, she was picking up aftershocks from it here a good 24 to 36 hours later. That's pretty interesting. Most of them here are radio experiments. This is actually a pretty good spot to observe all types of cosmic stuff going on and whatnot, but it's not a good optical site.
So these are radio telescopes?
Yeah, for the most part. There's an experiment down here called AMANDA, which is a neutrino telescope that has a bunch of modules that are frozen in about a kilometer below the surface of the ice, and they pretty much use the Earth as a filter to pick up neutrinos passing through it. There's another one here, ASTRO, which is a submillimeter telescope, submillimeter radio telescope. A couple smaller projects.
Now I guess the sun is up now?
I'm sorry?
The sun, you can see it now? Or maybe not inside?
Yeah, it came up about a month ago.
And so before that you were in complete darkness for 6 months?
Yes, sir.
That I would imagine that would be kind of depressing, no?
Actually, one thing I've found here is if you have good people around, it's pretty nice. During the winter, I mean, sure, you know, the sun's down, and you know, because of a lack of vitamin D and whatnot, you're going to naturally try and become, you know, physically you're more prone to depression. But outside during the winter, there are tons of really nice bright aurora that you can see super clear. Sometimes they fill up, you know, probably about a half to three quarters of the sky.
Wow.
The stars here are incredibly bright. You know, I've never seen so many stars in my life at once, to the point where you just see kind of patches of, they look like clouds. There's so many, they're so dense. The night's pretty nice, I think.
Are there any websites that describe your station there and experiments and anything else about that?
Oh, certainly. You can Google a bunch and find out, you know, you'll get a good number of hits, usually from people who've either been down for the summer or for the winter, that have put their experiences up and whatnot. There's one really good site, southpolestation.com, which is run by a gentleman by the name of Bill Spindler, who he's wintering this year. He's a big history buff in this place. His first time down here, I think, was in 76 or something, and this is his first year back. He has tons of photos, tons of, you know, stories and stuff like that, accounts from other winterovers, pretty much going back to the history, you know, recounting the history of this place back to the very old station, which, if I remember correctly, was established in the mid-50s or late 50s. Where else? USAP.gov. I believe that might be public.
You spell that?
That's the United... I'm sorry, USAP.gov. That's the United States Antarctic Program. There's the agency that operates all of the stations here on the continent. If anybody's looking for a job, you can go to... Well, if you're looking for a job, you have one of two routes. You can either go through Raytheon Polar Services Corporation, RPSC, which I believe should be RPSC.com. Their jobs are listed on a site called RayJobs, RayJobs.com. They handle most of the, you know, the operational logistics, the logistical stuff here. A lot of tradespeople down here, you know, obviously people working in the galley, cooks and dishwashers and stuff like that. The other route is to try and find one of the projects that are operating down here, which are usually, handled by universities in the States, and try and get in touch with them. They send people down all the time, either on a research capacity, or there's a project at the moment called IceCube, which is under construction, it'll be under construction for about the next 7 or 10 years. They need, you know, all types of people for that also. I think probably from reading southpolestation.com, you can probably get a good idea of the projects that are operational down here and then link them to the universities that that operate them. The ones off the top of my head are, I believe, University of Delaware, Harvard, University of Chicago, and University of Wisconsin.
Wow. Thanks.
Is there a way for tourists to go down there?
Actually, yeah. It's kind of difficult, though. I heard something over the summer about how for about $20,000 or $25,000, you can actually hop on a flight and come down here, stay for about an hour, and then leave.
Expensive hour.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Most of the tourists that come here, believe it or not, get here on their own. They either ski across the continent or they're part of an expedition that comes across the continent. There was somebody over this past summer that I believe, if I remember correctly, she skied across, or he, can't remember. But the problem is if you come here as a tourist, they can't let you into the station, and they won't feed you.
That's kind of mean after all that.
What if you're really hungry?
I think
cold?
So. Well, if you're almost, if you're almost dying, I think they'll take care of you. But I think the NSF has had a big push to try and discourage people from coming down here and just hanging out. I mean, not that many people would do it anyway. But
Well, what kind of diplomatic boundaries, I guess, are there in the South Pole? Is it you can just pretty much go there? Is there like a border patrol or something?
Well, in all honesty, if you can get here, there's plenty of space for you to wander around in. Nobody's really going to notice. The continent is ruled by a treaty called the Antarctic Treaty, which basically says that all the signatories agree that nobody can lay any claim to the land down here. So while each, you know, various countries have their own stations and whatnot around the continent, they're not supposed to be sovereign territory of that country. So technically, I would assume that, you know, it's an open country. You can, you know, if you can get yourself down here and survive, I think survival is the harder part, then, you know, you're free to do pretty much whatever you want here.
Hmm. All right. Anything else, Bernie?
I just wanted to thank Christian. Excuse me. I just wanted to thank Christian for listening to the show and for letting us call you down there. And it's really been amazing to hear about what goes on in the South Pole. We'll be checking out the websites. When are you coming back?
I should be back. Actually, I should be back in the New York area, hopefully by the middle of November.
Hmm.
I've got a little more time to go down here.
Give us a call again when you get back. We'd like to hear how things went.
Hey, no problem at all. I want to thank you guys, too, for putting on the show. I mean, I've been listening to the show for about 15 years now. And, you know, I had mentioned, and I think the first email I sent regarding this, I'd mentioned that, you know, it's been really nice to be able to grab the shows while I'm down here and actually still continue to listen to them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This may be one of the longest distance calls we've placed on this show, and for us, that's quite a feat. And did you have any kind of closing words for us, or?
No, I suppose enjoy the good food and the good weather while up there. I'm certainly looking forward to having some of it again.
All right. Thanks so much for joining
Bye,
us.
Bye, Christian. Thanks.
No problem.
Bye.
Thanks for having me. You guys have a good night.
And where else besides WBAI are you going to hear a phone call like that?
Nowhere that I know.
So please, if you have, if you are enjoying this program, please call in and pledge. The number again is 212-209-2950, and maybe Mike, you can go over the premiums again.
Sure. I didn't. They're right in front of you. But
I could do it as well.
Anyone who pledges $25 or more gets, in addition to their membership to WBAI, they get the Off the Hook t-shirt, which is very fashionable, although I guess no one here is maybe for a warmer weather.
It could be under one of three of our sweaters.
It's true. If you want these sweatshirts, which are so popular among the Off the Hook staff, they're 50. You can get them in thanks for your pledge of $50. And if you pledge $75 or more, you can always pledge more, you will get the Off the Hook DVD-ROM, the new edition, including all shoes, through the end of this year. And if you're really special, we'll send it to you before the end of the year, and you can hear the future, but that may not happen.
And as long as they pledge over $25, they get the T-shirt, right? So if they pledge $50, they get the sweatshirt and the T-shirt, right?
Exactly. You can get a whole wardrobe. And in addition, your support keeps the station going. And I know a lot of our listeners may only listen to this show. It's the only show they listen to on WBI. But those listeners are really missing out because there's a lot of great content on this station.
And if you compare it to a lot of the other stations that are popping up in the city, like the silly new Jack FM stations and all that, where they're completely automated and there's no personality and it's, you know, very junky.
Say what
you know, this station broadcasts a lot of content that's very, you know, local to the area. You know, you really feel like it's a local station really benefiting the community. And you don't get that with any of the other stations in the city, really.
Say what you will about WBAI, it is not automated. There are people here because these machines are really not capable of being automated. And while we're here, we like to say things that machines really aren't capable of saying. And so again, the number is 212-209-2950. We have one call on the line. We had some calls earlier. But we really, you know, need your support to keep going. And you know, there's really no other way for us to do it. If we could, like a lot of stations will play advertisements. Most stations in this country will play advertisements. And what's interesting about the business model of these commercial stations is that the product is not airtime. The product is the ears of listeners. So stations in the commercial world are judged by how many listener ears they can get to sell soap or whatever it is, Apple computers, whatever it is. The listener ear is the product. Here on WBAI, that's not the way it works. There is no product. We just do radio, and we do radio that we think people want to hear, and we're totally free of this corporate control. So we know it's a little perhaps annoying to have to listen to us beg for money every once in a while. And we know that you'd rather just let us get back to our programming and you wish they wouldn't do these specials. But it's really the only way for us to support ourselves. And if you compare the amount of time we spend on these fund drives to the amount of time that commercial stations spend on advertising over and over the same products, I'm sure you'll find that we really come out quite okay.
Probably much less time dedicated to trying to fundraise. And I would say WBAI is very different than most public radio stations, which have corporate underwriting. And
they have commercials. Right. Just say it.
It's, all right. They call it corporate underwriting, but you and I and everybody else really generally knows it's commercials. So you don't have that with WBAI. You will not hear any commercial product or company promoted on the station, and there's a good reason for that. That has to do with objectivity. And content control, which commercial stations and even public stations won't even admit to changing their content based on their sponsors. But it happens, and it does not happen at WBAI. This is really the only independent station one of the few independent stations you're going to hear in this country that is not somehow beholden to commercial interests. And that's really worth a lot. And if you enjoy what you're listening to on this station now and maybe at other times, please give us a call. What's that number again?
The number again, you should know it by now, is 212-209-2950. And I want to mention that we have received a message from Emmanuel. He writes that he will explain all in 2 weeks, but actually 3 weeks is when we'll next be on. Greetings to everyone from the Abyss. Please pledge your support. And again, the number is 212-209-2950. And we will also shortly be taking phone calls on 209-2900. and you can be on the air at that number. But we also ask you to call 209-2950, and all these numbers are, of course, in the area code 212 and the country code 1 to pledge your support to the station. Do you have any other news, Bernie?
I think we should still keep talking about the station and take some calls. But we did have one interesting email from a listener who is a college professor of engineering, and he was asking about amateur satellites, which we mentioned on the air recently. And many of the staffers at Off the Hook and at 2600 happen to be ham radio operators or amateur radio operators, and Redbird there is one. And maybe Redbird, could you speak a few words about what amateur satellites are about, and maybe a website where people can learn more about amateur satellites and what they're for?
Sure. Well, amateur radio operators, I guess, are interested in all sorts of forms of radio communication, and there are many groups of people who are interested in satellite communication. So quite a few satellites have been launched, which were put together and developed by amateur radio operators and all that. And are used to relay messages. So you'll have, you know, these satellites pass over and maybe a window of opportunity of, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so when you can actually contact them. And you know, you can do digital modes, you can do voice modes and relay messages and make all sorts of long-distance contacts that would otherwise be more difficult on the higher frequencies. So it is a very interesting form of communication. I guess that's what you wanted, a summary of it, so... There you go,
and it's absolutely free.
So, absolutely,
there's a good website, amsat.org. It's the Alpha Mary Sierra Alpha Tango.
That's A M S A T for the rest of us.
Yes, and another site about amateur radio is ARRL.org, the American Radio Relay League. Both sites have a lot of good information about amateur radio, and as we just had a long satellite call tonight, and as Christian mentioned, when other forms of communication aren't working, they use amateur radio. So it's an amazing, very much like a listener-supported WBAI, in that there's no corporate infrastructure supporting it. So
there is no infrastructure supporting it except, you know,
government regulation, perhaps.
Possibly.
Can you call the South Pole with the amateur radio?
You would absolutely be able to talk to the South Pole.
So if the voice over IP fails, it's
depending
radio.
On propagation, but, you know, in technical difficulties maybe.
Huh. Again, the number to call to pledge is 212-209-2950.
I think we'll take phone calls in a few minutes, so if you'd like to be on the air, 212-209-2900.
And why not call both numbers? It's kind of fun.
We can't take their pledge.
No. Don't give your credit card number out over the air. It's unwise. Again, there's really, you know, we say this over and over again. We sound like a broken record, but it's really the truth that there's no other place that you can hear radio like we do anywhere except for the few stations that carry us, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world as far as I know. And only a station like WBAI would give us the support to, you know, to give a bunch of hackers an hour on the radio every week. And that's why this station is such a unique place. People like us are always being put on the radio. There's a new youth show, or not new, but new time slot youth show that is kind of exciting, called Rise Up Radio. And they're here. And all these programs that come from WBAI that can't be heard anywhere else, and in a lot of cases, nothing like them can be heard anywhere else. So to keep these going, again, the number is 212-209-2950. We have some people who did already call that number, and we want to thank them.
All right. Thank you, Eric from Union City, New Jersey, Jeffrey from Brooklyn, Ronald from Mon, New York, Alberto from San Francisco, California. That's a nice long-distance pledge. Michael from Man, New York again.
That's Manhattan.
Oh, I'm a little out of it tonight.
It's okay. And Redbird has handed me this one. This is Kuja from Farmingdale, New York. also called to pledge. And always there's people who call and pledge and won't let us read their name on the air. I guess they want to remain anonymous. They're afraid of who might hear that they have pledged. And that's okay, too. You can, if you want to be read on there, you better call really quickly, 212-209-2950, because there's not a lot of time left. But some people whose not only their names but their voices will be on the air are calling us. If you want to pledge, 209-2950, and let's take a call.
All right. And good evening. You're on the – no, I guess they're not. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Could you turn down your radio, please?
I turned it off.
Great.
Okay, I have two questions. The first about civil rights and subway searches. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the searches would be legal if they had first installed some sort of bomb or radiological scanning unit at the entrance of the subway? That would give good due cause, but would the installation as such violate any civil rights?
You'd have to ask a lawyer. My intuition is that it would be very hard to make it work, at least anytime soon. So even before they got to the legal questions, there would be a lot of technical questions to ask. But it is an interesting question. Bernie, do you have any ideas?
I would think not. I think it'd be similar to getting on airplanes where there's an interest in it's not really as invasive a search as somebody rifling through your bag with your hands, sniffing for explosives. I don't have a problem with that, and everybody has their own opinions.
How about bomb-sniffing dogs at the stations instead of a mechanical device?
I've seen bomb-sniffing dogs at the stations. They already do it, so...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, I had a second question about the Bill of Rights for cell phone users. Mm-hmm. Don't you think a provision that would require, like, giving common carrier status to... the various towers, do you think that kind of provision would ultimately help the industry in expanding coverage and lowering their own costs? And do you think that's something that maybe people should call and ask the legislatures to add into the bill?
Long overdue. I think the wireless carriers, cell phone carriers, PCS carriers, get away with a lot that they wouldn't be able to get away with if they were under the jurisdiction of their respective public utility commissions at each state. But they're exempt from that, which I think is wrong. But they have a very powerful political lobby, the CTIA, Cellular Telephone Industry Association, and they've managed to keep out from under the purview of any state public utilities commission. So that's one of the problems.
Yeah, because that would, you know, it would enhance their ability to compete by not having no longer to compete on you know, actual signal availability, but, you know, instead improve their service, compete on price, give us flat data plans that really work. But on that subject, if I can leave you with just one other question, as far as flat rate data plans are concerned on cellular carriers, do you have a favorite?
I hear that Verizon has a $60 a month flat rate plan of EVDO, which is a pretty high bandwidth wireless. Sprint has one, too, that's flat rate, about $80 a month. There are others. I'm not promoting or endorsing any of them, but those are two that I know of.
Oh, I was hoping for something lower cost. T-Mobile
yeah,
has
too.
20, but you get, like, between 40 and 50K per second.
Yes, it's a much, much lower speed. You can get megabits per second with the EVDO technology. So you kind of get what you pay for, but in any case, you pay a lot more than you should.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks a lot. And, you know, I pledged it an earlier show. But anyway, keep up the good work. Your show's great. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Again, the number to call is 212-209-2900. And the number to pledge, you still a few minutes left to get the off-the-hook premiums. $25 and up is the off-the-hook T-shirt. $50 is not only the T-shirt, but also this very handy sweatshirt. And $75 in addition to the T-shirt, you get the off-the-hook DVD-ROM, which includes all shows through the end of 2005. And the number to pledge is 212-209-2950. Let's take another phone call.
And good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to comment because I have a cell phone store regarding the fees and the hidden fees that you guys were talking about before.
Mm. Yes.
Majority of it is basically the taxes. There's actually a website I'm driving right now. I don't have it with me. That's trying to fight the tremendous amount of taxes that that is imposed on the, everybody's bill. Like in New York,
these are not taxes on you. These are taxes on the companies that are selling services to you, and they refuse to pay those taxes and just say you should pay them. And they're not even quoting those all those extra tax fees that they're imposing on you as part of your monthly quoted rate. So it's very unfair, and it's a it's one of the things that I think a cell phone bill of rights should include.
I think it's just another way for government to make more money. It's just like they the tremendous amount of tax they have on cigarettes, gasoline, and alcohol, all these other stuff. They have just stupid amount of tax on cell phone usage, which just doesn't make sense at all. 21% in New York.
And you can't compare carriers very well either, because none of these carriers quote these taxes that are they're passing through to the consumer.
Well, it's the same everywhere. It just depends on your rate. You know, if you have a higher rate plan, you're going to pay obviously more taxes because of the percentage.
It's just a mess.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I guess we're about out of time. So
again, the number to call the pledge is 212-209-2950. We will not be on the air next week or the week after, we believe. Of course, everything could change. But we will see you in a few weeks. And if you want to pledge, again, the number is 212-209-2950.
Thank you, and good night.